Good morning. Wow. One more time. Good morning. Good to see you. Hope you've had a good week. The wind shifted to the north, so my allergies are in full bloom. So if I cut out or I can't continue, John Gibson will be finishing my sermon. We're in the middle of a series of lessons entitled, How Do You Know You're a Christian? We've been studying through the book of 1 John. And 1 John really says, here are some tests, here are some ways, here are some things that you can do to know that you are a child of God. Today we're going to be looking at specifically, you are confident facing His coming. You may remember the name Harold Camping. He's that preacher who widely touted his belief that Jesus was going to come again on May 21st, 2011. Remember that story in the news? Well, in his first radio broadcast after the failure of his prediction, he insisted that it was an error of interpretation, not an error of fact. Once more, he made another calculation. Just so you'll know, the end of the world is October 21st. 2011, so that we can all be preparing for that in the future. He first inaccurately predicted the end of the world in 1994. But despite his previous track record, he gathered a very large following of people who sold their homes, gave up their life savings, quit their jobs, because they believed that the end of the world was coming. And in his very first press conference following the failure on the 21st, he was pressed about that by reporters, and he would not admit any blame whatsoever. He said, I don't have any responsibility. I'm only teaching the Bible. I'm telling you that this is what the Bible says. I don't have any spiritual rule over anybody. Well, this morning, let's pause for just a second and see what John says about Christians at Christ's coming. If you would, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. 1 John 2:28 and 29. And now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. Thank you. Be seated. As children of God, John wants us to know that we can be confident when we are facing Christ's coming. We don't have to look toward that event with dread or fear or anything of the sort. And as a matter of fact, he uses the word confident. And let's just see how he develops this. First of all, he says that you can be confident about his coming. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears. Harold Camping was correct about one thing. Jesus is coming again. There's no doubt about it. He is going to return. The New Testament teaches us in many places that He will return and He will take those who are faithful to be with Him into heaven. And He uses the word here, when He appears or His coming, it's parousia. His coming, His presence, His arrival, or being beside is what the word means. Interestingly enough, we talk about the second coming. Those two words together don't appear in the New Testament. The first time that we hear about the second coming is in Justin Martyr's Apology, one of the very early church fathers. Those who wrote our Bible, the apostles and other witnesses who were led by the Holy Spirit, just refer to His coming or His arrival or His appearing. But whatever we call it, we can be confident about it. Jesus is coming. So much so, I have a few verses here that I want to read from 1 Thessalonians 4, where Paul explains the events that are going to transpire when he comes. And now, brothers, I want you to know what will happen to the Christians who have died, so that you will not be full of sorrow like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus comes, God will bring back with Jesus all the Christians who have died. I can tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not rise to meet Him ahead of those who are in their graves. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the call of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, all the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and remain with Him forever. So comfort and encourage one another with these words. The New Testament throughout it bears witness that you can be confident about Christ's coming. He is coming again. Then John says, we can be confident facing His coming. And now, dear children, continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident. This word for confidence is used 31 times in the New Testament. In secular Greek, it meant to speak freely, like someone who would be able to have freedom of speech in their society, where they could speak openly in public about issues. And this idea of outspokenness and frankness also carries with it the idea of courage or confidence or even boldness. In the New Testament, this word appears, in John, this word appears four times in this letter. The first two times, he says that we can be confident or bold in the context of our prayer life, that we can be confident when we come before the throne of God in prayer. And two times, he says, we can be confident as we face God's judgment. This goes hand in glove with John's theology of assurance that he has in this letter. He wants the children of God there to know that you're God's children. You are in God's family. And you can be assured, you can even be confident facing His coming. Did you know? Perhaps you did. But did you know that you can stand boldly, confidently, assuredly, as someone who has the right to speak freely in public, facing the judgment? Did you know that you can have that kind of assurance, that kind of knowledge, knowing that you have a right relationship with God? Did you know you could have that? John says, you can be confident facing His coming. We should not fear. We should not worry. We should not dread the arrival of the Lord. Instead, John says, face it with confidence. Then he says, you can be unashamed at His coming. So that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. What does that mean exactly? Some people say it means that we will be unashamed or not disgraced when the Lord comes by our own actions, that there won't be any need to try to run or cringe or hide like those who did not receive Jesus and did not accept Him as Lord. A second possible interpretation is that we won't be put to shame by the Lord, that He will not disgrace us in the final judgment. And some people think it's both, that we don't have any reason to be ashamed at His coming, we won't have any reason to fear, and our Lord will not shame us. because we belong to Him. We're in Him. We're part of His family. We are, like the Hebrew writer said, His brothers. If you are a child of God, you have no reason to be ashamed when you consider His coming. You have no reason to fear facing His coming. Instead, you should be confident, knowing that you do not need to be ashamed or fear being shamed. And then He says, you should abide in Him to prepare for His coming. And now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident. The reason that we can be confident, the reason that we can be unashamed, is explained here by John. He has used this word, abide, remain, or continue, in this letter 7 times to this point. And he says, it describes a deep, permanent relationship with God. He says, if you have that kind of relationship with God, if you are continuing in Him, if you are remaining in Him, and we know from previously looked at passages in this book, we know that that means two things. We've got to believe the right things about Jesus, and we've got to behave the right way. We've got to believe who Jesus is, that He is God in the flesh, the Son, and we've got to behave like people who are children, who belong to God. He says, if you abide in Him, both correct beliefs and correct behavior, in ways that are consistent with God's holiness, we can be confident. We can be unashamed. We can look forward to His coming. We can be encouraged, knowing that the Lord will return. That whenever He arrives in our generation or 100 generations from now, that we are abiding in Him. We are remaining in Him. Then he says, you must know that He is righteous in light of His coming. If you know that He is righteous, and that's an interesting conditional sentence. It's if you know He is righteous, and you do know that, is the implication. And so the argument moves here logically. Okay, Christ is coming. There will be a day when He comes in the clouds. What will be the nature of His judgment when He comes? What will He be like? What will He do? How will He judge when He comes? He says He is the righteous judge. That's a synonym for holiness. At His very nature, at His very essence, the very core of His person, the Son is righteous. He is holy. And He says that is how He will judge. There are some people who think God will judge based on blind emotion. I love everyone. I don't want anybody to be lost. You know what? I'm just going to save everyone. There are some people who think God's going to judge based on pity because this person had it so hard or their life was so difficult and things were so bad for them. I think I'll give them a pass. They didn't really have to acknowledge my son. And there are some people who think that God will judge just by a law. And that if you don't have enough checks in the good side and you've got too many checks on the bad side, sorry. The scales don't tip your way. John says, He is the righteous judge. He will judge according to His righteousness. We can know for certain that no matter how the judgment is rendered, it will be right and good and holy and appropriate. And if we're all going to be judged based on our human performance, the rest of the New Testament tells us, you know what? We're out of luck. Thank God for grace. Thank God that the blood of Jesus cleanses us as we walk in the light. That at the very moment we sin, John says, you're cleansed. Because we're walking in the light. But we've got to know. And that's the word he uses, know. That when he comes to judge, his righteousness is going to be the quality that judges. Which means he can't save those who did not acknowledge his son. He can't deliver those who did not accept his gift of salvation and who lived their life by grace. He can't. Because he's righteous. But also because he's righteous and because we're his children, he can't turn his back on us. Because we're his family. Know that he is righteous when he comes. And then he says, you can know that you are born of him before his coming. You know, there's that word again, that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. He will judge righteously. And because he will judge righteously and because we abide in him, we can be confident at his coming. We can be unashamed at his coming because we've been born again. The New Testament teaches us that we are part of God's family and we are born again because of a process. A process of where we die to ourselves. Where we are buried in the grave of baptism. And where we are raised again to a new life. We are born again after we die, are buried, and are raised. We have a new birth. Peter says we have been born or begotten again, to a living hope. I want you to notice what he says here and how he says it. This is interesting. He does not say everyone who has been born again, born of him, acts rightly. He does not say everyone who has been born of him acts rightly. Instead, he says everyone who does what is right has been born of him. He turns his attention and his focus on right action. Remember, to whom John is writing, there are some people, some docetics, some Gnostics, who are saying, actions don't matter. You can do what you want to do. As long as you've reached this higher level of knowledge, as long as you've attained this understanding about God, don't worry about what you do. We're above sin. So John focuses on that. Everyone who does what is right has been born of him. We would say it this way. What you do determines your paternity. How you behave demonstrates who is your father. Our actions show if we belong to God. The way we live demonstrates if we're his children. The way we act let us know if we are abiding in him. So every person here, you can know for certain that you're born of him at his coming. You can know that. The question is, are you confident facing his coming? Have you been born of him? Jesus himself said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Have you been born again? Have you died? Have you been buried? Have you been raised from the grave of baptism? Have you experienced that? Are you confident when you think about his coming? Are you certain you can be unashamed at his coming? You can be. And if you need to respond this morning, come now as we stand and sing.